Amen.
Let's rise up for you to sing a song. My faith looks up to thee, amen. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Oh, now hear me while I pray. Oh, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. Oh, my zeal is bound as thou hast died for me. Oh, my love to thee, pure woman, changeless be a living fire. While I dark maze I tread, o'er and grace around me, O Lord, be thou my guide. Oh, you bid darkness, bid darkness turn to day. Oh, wipe sorrow tears away. Oh, no, let me ever stray from thee. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. We are standing on holy ground. Amen. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Amen. That we are standing on holy ground this evening. We are standing on holy ground. Oh, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise, oh, let's praise Him tonight. Tonight, oh. so let's lift our voice tonight. Let us, oh, let us praise our Jesus. Jesus now. Oh, for we are standing in his presence. Sing, burn on, burn on, burn on, burn. Oh, burn on tonight, Lord, burn. Oh, let a fire consume every tent away. So to come and pray for us. Oh, burn on. Oh, burn on. Oh, let a fire. Oh, fire of God. Burn on. Lord, Lord, from the morning as you broke a new day for us,
amen.
Lord, our going out and coming in our working places, in our homes, even for our children, oh Lord Jesus, Father, you have sustained every footstep that we have made, oh God. And Father, we are so much thankful, the Lord. Even this evening, our footsteps have led us to no other place but right to your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you for this grace, Lord. So, Lord, even as we have come, Lord, we know it is you that called us. So we've come, Lord Jesus, with all humility, with all reverence, coming to seek more grace from you, Lord, through your word, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we humble ourselves, Lord Jesus,
hallelujah,
for the purpose for which you, God,
you have drawn us this evening. Father, we pray that, Lord, you open the windows of heaven and let your blessings, God, fall upon us, Lord Jesus, through your word, O God. And even, Lord, in all things, you said we should give thanks and praise unto thy name, Lord. So, Father, we want to sing, we want to worship you, we want to lift up your name, because there is no other name than the name Jesus Christ, Lord. So, Father, we want to commit the song leader, the musicians, Lord, into your hands, our instruments of praise, our lips, our hands, everything, our heart, Lord. We want to put everything together, Lord, to lift up your name. So, Father, lead yours, the song leader of God, to bring us through that worship, Lord. The word of the songs of Zion, O God, the Lord, this evening, to create an atmosphere, O God, for your word, O Lord, to find a place, Lord, in us. And even, Father, we commit your servant into your hands as he dedicates himself, Lord, into you now. Father, use him as the mouthpiece, O God. And speak to us, Lord Jesus, knowing our needs, O God, our spiritual needs, Lord. Father, we pray that, O God, your word will come, Lord Jesus, to lift us up even onto higher grounds, that we can catch your glory and even in height, Lord. We thank you, we bless you once again. We commit as many that, Lord, weren't able to come, Lord, into your hands also. We know that, Lord, it's for good reasons that they are not here. Father, reach them wherever they are. Those on the way coming also, grant them many mercies, the Lord. They will come safely, O Lord. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, hallelujah, amen. Amen, let's sing this song, Are You Washed in the Blood, amen. You've been to Jesus for a cleansing blood, are you washed in the blood? Been to Jesus for a cleansing blood, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusted in His grace? This hour are you washed in the blood, oh, or are you washed, oh, in the blood, oh, tonight in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, or are you garments spotless otherwise, as snow, or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior, or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you, or are you washed in the blood? Or in that soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless otherwise? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you washed, or in the blood, or in that soul, in blood of the Lamb? Or are you garments spotless otherwise? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, lay aside the garments that are stained with sand, or and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh,
soul and clean. Open walls in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I was your night in the blood. Oh, in that soul, cleansing blood.
In the blood, wanted to give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Let's sing the song, Fill My Way Every Day with Love. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord in the way that I was gone, even straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the side. And a smile, fill my way every day with
Hallelujah, amen. That's what is Adonai, that the Lord will fill our way with love. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing the song, Jesus, Draw Me Close. Amen. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Oh, draw us close, Lord. Jesus, draw. This is our desire tonight, Lord. Oh, this is my desire. Oh, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Bless you, saints.
Glory!
Wednesday nights are always the nights for the believers, you know. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. Wednesday is such a blessing to me to come to church because as the week goes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, rubbing our shoulders with the world and having to work, and the neighbors is not in a good mood, and you know, it does something to you, you know, like it really has an effect on you. So for you to go from Sunday and then wait for service on Friday, it can be quite a long journey, you know. So I like to come to church on a Wednesday and be with the saints and hear the word of God. It just fell on my lot tonight that I have to be standing here. But it really is a great opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, you know, because it kind of helps us. You know, when you are being pushed around and this and that by the world and all these adverts about abortion and all the flesh on display on the streets, you come to a place, you know, where you can hide away from all that and you get a bit of a charge to push you to Friday, and then we have another service, you know, and you get into the weekend. I wonder how other people can manage to go without something during the week just to give them a bit of a boost. I know it's not possible for everybody to be here, but I'm certainly thankful that we have opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I would like to read from the scripture that was used by Brother Tommy on Sunday in Luke chapter 14. I don't know if I could get a glass for some water, please. Luke chapter 14 on Sunday, Brother Tommy was reading about counting the costs. And tonight I would like to speak on after counting the costs. I pray that the Lord will help us. It's a short thought, but I am sure that it will quicken you to something. It will get you to think of something during this week, so that when the weekend comes, we just continue on in the Spirit of the Lord, and I pray that it will help us. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he is sufficient to finish it? I understand this verse very well because of my job. Constantly we are building things for people. And they come into the office in a single month, you can get 20 people come in. They want to build something. And they consult with you, and then you do all the costing for them. Then you give it back to them. Maybe only 5 come back to continue building, because they would have counted the cost, and they would have seen, the money we have is not enough to undertake this job. So after counting the cost, they do something. It's either they forsake the project, or they take up the project and go ahead with it. But it's their decision after counting the costs, which tells you, because many times they don't tell you how much money they have. It's the decision they make after counting the costs. That's what tells you many times whether they were able to bear the cost or they are not able. That's very much like us as Christians. When something is presented to us and we count the costs, it's the actions that you take after that that reveals your true nature. It really shows what you think of what has been presented to you. So I was quite very touched by the sermon on Sunday, and it kind of inspired me, and I thought, oh, that was very good. And I just thought maybe I would say something about counting, after counting the costs, the actions that people take after counting the costs. If you would like to turn with me again to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Amen. Judges, chapter 16. It's a very familiar place in the Bible, from verse 25. This is the death of Samson. Perhaps I will read. Yeah, verse 25. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were there. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, how we are thankful for your word, O God. Father, singing the songs, Lord, of how we desire to praise and to worship you. Lord, O God, this is the very purpose for which you put us here on earth, Lord. And tonight we would like to look into your word, Lord. Father, O God, to look into it and to see what is required of us that we may know how to give it, O Father. Bless your people that have turned out tonight, O God. It isn't easy for many of the families, but Father, I pray for them, Lord, that you would grant them grace, Lord, that, Father, they too one day may count the cost, Father, that they may also be one day be able to fulfill, Lord, the part of the scripture which says not to forsake the assembling of one another. I pray, Father, that you grant them this grace, Lord. Even us that are here, may you grant to us the same grace, Father, that our gathering may not be in vain, but that, Lord, you draw near, Lord, and that as your word is being read, that you will reveal it, Lord, Father, unto us, that it may help us. We ask it for your glory. Father, I pray for me that you'll be merciful to me tonight, Lord, that you grant me grace, Lord, to be able to put myself aside, and that you may be speaking something to your children to help them, Father. We commit the service to you, Lord, remembering our pastor who's at work tonight. Father, grant him grace, O Lord. And I pray for our brother David, Lord, who's also at home with the family due to circumstances, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll be with him, Lord. Remembering my wife also at home with the children and she being unwell, I commit her into your hands that you'd grant her grace, O Father. And the many that are not here, Lord, that have desire to be here, grant them grace tonight. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. It was quite a day today. I had to be at work, and my phone has never rang as much as it did. And I just knew that the devil was on the case, but we thank the Lord that all things work together for good. And I was just meditating on this word here about counting the costs, as we heard Brother Tommy preaching. And it's quite a thing, because every time we are faced with a decision to make, the way we make our decision is when we count the costs. We look at the options that are presented before us and we count the cost to see what is it going to cost us. Are we able to give that cost, or are we going to leave it? I think a good example that we have in the Bible is the rich young ruler who came to the Lord and he said, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord spoke to him. The Bible said he loved him. There was something lovable about this young man. And he spoke to him and said, well, do all the commandments. And he said, I've done these from when I was a little boy. And then the Lord spoke to him and said something to this end, that go sell all that you have, then come follow me. So this young man was faced with a decision to make. Something had been presented to him to go and sell all that he had. Now he was rich, the Bible says. So he was presented with this choice to sell all that he had and then come follow Christ. So the one thing that he had come to the Lord for, to come follow Christ, to receive eternal life, was now the one option, and the other was all these riches that he had. And he counted his cost when he looked at those two things. He looked at the eternal life and he looked at his riches and counted the cost, and he thought maybe the cost was too high. So instead of going to give up all that he had so that he could follow Christ, he didn't do it. He gave up instead what the Lord had told him to do. That's what he gave up so that he could keep his riches. So he forsook the advice that the Lord Jesus had spoken to him. But you see, the reason why this young man did that is because his value system was not right. Because he put eternal life here and he put his riches here, and they were of more worth than eternal life to him. So to him, to give up something that is of more value so that he can get something of less value, nobody wants to do that. You don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. If somebody came to me with a car from 1998 and say, let's exchange cars. You can take my car, I'll take your car. That's the one thing I'll do also. I will weigh the two in the balance and see that this is not a very good deal. And I won't do it because my car is of more worth than that the person is offering me. So this is what this young man did, is that he really desired to have eternal life. He wouldn't have come to the Lord, but he came, and when he was presented with these two choices and weighed them in the balance, to him, his value system considered his riches to be of more value than eternal life. Of course, we know what happened to this young man, because the prophet goes to show us that one day he opened his eyes and he was in hell. At that particular point, where were those riches now? Then he began to see that when he made a choice, he made the wrong choice. When he counted the costs, his value system of counting costs was absolutely wrong. It deceived him because he ended up in a place where he never thought he would end up in. He was in hell. So his value system deceived him, and he ended up in such a place there where he didn't want to end up. So it's like when we go to planning for a holiday, say we want to go to a certain place, many times we use the same concept. How much is it going to cost me? How much do I have? Am I able to afford it? Then our decision after that shows what we think of that holiday, whether we value it more than the money we have or not. Just like this young ruler, he valued his riches more than he valued eternal life. And his decision after that revealed that. So that's what we want to look at a little bit here, even in the place where we read in the book of Judges about Samson. Because Samson had a commission from God. And if you trace the life of Samson, every time the will of God was presented before him and Delilah on the other side, he chose Delilah. And those choices led him to a certain place where the Philistines put him in a place, took off his eyes, and he was blind. He had to be led by a little man. And look, God's man was making sport for the Philistines. They put him in an arena and say, make sport for us so we can celebrate our God. That was a terrible, terrible place for the man of God to be in. But one day, as his hair was growing and he could feel it, he stood in a place and he must have counted the cost. He really looked at it and said, is this what have become of me? And he counted the cost, because Samson knew that if God answers my prayer tonight, I'm going to die. And this is the cost that is going to cost me to do the will of God. Now, you don't want to leave things to that until it comes to that place where you have now either it's your life or the will of God. The choice is right there before us today, without having to pay the price that Samson paid. That you have to value the things right. But when your value system is wrong, then you are always going to constantly make the wrong choices. So Samson, at this place now, his value system now was in the right place. And he must have thought about it to say, if I bring this house down, they are all going to die. This is the will of God. But it's going to cost me my life. And he valued it, and he saw that it was better to do the will of God than for me to remain blind, making sport for the Philistines. And he asked this young man, put my hands on the pillars. And they did, and he did. And what does Samson do? He destroyed the whole place, and he died in the process. But that was of more value to him to do the will of God than for him to continue to live. That's the choice that he had to end up making, whereas he could have made it before that, and because his value system was wrong, Samson was making the wrong choices. But we don't want to leave things to such a place where you have to make such a choice. But when a person makes the right kind of a choice, when their value system is set up right, you will find, like Paul in the Bible, he was very rich. Paul had a big name. He had a big position. But when the value, when the choice was put before him, so, why persecutest thou me? Who are you? He said, I'm the Lord Jesus. He was like, what? The Lord Jesus, and I've been persecuting them. And he had to make a choice. It was put before him, and he valued his things right, and he saw, amen, it's better that I give up my riches, amen, I give up my positions, amen, I give up my popularity, just so that I can do the will of God, because that's what he wanted to do. And he made a choice, and he gave up everything that he could know Jesus Christ. It came to a place where he had nothing. He had just one coat, but he had counted his costs right. But the reason why many people make wrong choices is because the value system is wrong. Because they walk by sight, they do not walk by faith. Yet as Christians, the Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. So when we are here on earth and we are presented with a choice like the rich young ruler, what do? We look by sight and say, me give up this, that, so that I could have what? Because many times when a person decides to forsake the things of the world and take the things of God, the immediate thing that you get here on earth is persecution. Your friends speak evil of you. At work, they look at you funny. Sometimes you can even lose your job. Why? Because you have, the Bible says, all that are righteous will suffer persecution. So that's the immediate thing that we get. Now, instead of using faith to look beyond that persecution and look at eternal life and then compare it with the thing that we are giving up, no. People look at the thing that they are giving up and the immediate persecution that has come. And then it messes up their value system. They say, I would rather be with my friends. And many times it has to come to a place like Samson where now you are saying, I want to avenge of my eyes. Instead of saying, I want to do the will of God. And really, the good thing that a person can do is when a choice is presented to them, give up the things of the world. Even when you feel that I want it. Don't give up your worldly friends simply because they have spoken evil of you. They have made you to make sport about God or make sport to worship their gods and things like that, like Samson had to do. But the thing that pleases the Lord is even when your friends are nice, but they just won't want to walk with the message of the hour, forsake them. That's the thing to do. Not to wait until, I think I might have cancer, so I should give up this smoking or things like that. Don't wait until it's like that. The thing to do is to give up right now when the word presents it to you. So when you forsake something, say, I've forsaken the world. What have you done? You have actually abandoned it. And you have no intention of coming back to pick it up. So if you are going to say, I'm forsaking my friends because I have presented the word to them, they won't take it, and they are not causing me to walk right with God. Nothing good is coming out of that. I'm going to forsake them. You are abandoning them completely without an intention to say, I will come back to them. You understand? Because when you forsake something, but you have an intention of coming back, you are not really forsaking it. You are just laying it aside for a little while. Now, you can't deceive God. Because God sees beyond your intentions. He sees the very motive of why you are doing what you are doing. So when you decide to forsake the things of the world, it's a complete abandonment to say, I'm not coming back to this. I'm not coming back to that. Why? Because you want to choose the word of God. The word of God and the world do not mix. And you've got to choose one of the other. But people, they never really make that choice because their value system is somehow messed up. And we're going to see how that is, you know. Now, the prophet speaks. I didn't put the quote up there. I have it here. He says, lust for money, lust for big things, lust for popularity, these things are dead to the believer. Now, we all know money, women, popularity, and everybody knows it's wrong to lust after women or women to lust after men. But there's these other slick things that come behind popularity, big things, and money. They come and they cause people to make the wrong choices. When people count cost to say, what is it going to cost me to attend the service on Wednesday? I'm going to lose a shift. And that's so much money. Or there's a shift coming on Sunday that has been offered. Sunday is double time. And I have to sit in church and listen to Brother Early preaching and I'll watch it on the internet. And you're saying, and your intentions may be very good, but the things of God go beyond good intentions. The prophet says, we are required to forsake all and follow him. That's God's requirement. It's God. Do you mind to put my second quote there, please? That's God's requirement to forsake all. Is that the second one? But that's exactly what God requires. Forsake all and follow him. That's God's requirement. We've got to do it, he says. Sometimes we've got to forsake our thoughts. If our thoughts about anything is contrary to God's word, we've got to forsake our own thinking. So anything that is contrary to God's word has got to be forsaken. So if they ask you to come to work on a Sunday, I think these kinds of things, we have to face them in the face. I know we all have to live. But if they ask you to come to work on a Sunday and you have to be in church, then the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. When they gather, be there with them. You put those things in your value system. Which one wins at the end? It really shows what you think of the word of God. That's really true, because I don't think that you are going to die because you've been asked to come to work on a Sunday, then you say, no, I have to go to church. You've got to come to a place where you make a stand and say, I have put it in my value system. I've counted the cost. It's more dear for me to go to church than to come to work. Even if they say it's double pay or triple pay on a Sunday, I will be in the house of the Lord, because that's where you are supposed to be. The Bible says that. And if you are going to value the word of God, then you've got to forsake your own thinking even. In another place, he says, forsake even your friends. Even your friends. The Bible says, mark them that cause divisions, doesn't it say? So when we come here and the prophet speaks about, you should do this thing, Branham Tabernacle, yeah? If somebody causes division, and you speak to them, they don't repent and things like that, they don't want to line up, excommunicate. Yeah? And it sounds like a thing that is not very nice to do. But it's got to come to a place like that, because we are going to have to stand with the word of God instead of with our own thinking. We've got to come to a place where we count the cost and say, it's better for me not to have fellowship with this unbeliever than for me to perish. Because that's what it will come to in the end, like Samson. So we've got to give up even our own thinking and follow him. And the only way we can follow him is follow his word. Obey it. That's just as simple as it is. Just obey the word of God. Where is the word of God in the Bible? Just read the Bible. Thou shalt not lie. What do you do? Obey it. That's how you follow him. But if you feel that I'm justified to do it, people actually feel like that. And many times they are not insincere. It's because there's something wrong with the spirit that is in them. Because if God's spirit is in you, and it's in me, and you claim to be filled with the spirit of God, that spirit of God in you, it should condemn you whenever you do something that is contrary to the word of God. And if the spirit of God which is in you does not condemn you every time you do something contrary to the word of God, then there's something wrong with you. That's what the prophet says in that first quote there. There's something wrong with you if the church doors are open and you feel okay to sit at home. Not even send a message, say, saints, pray for me because I'm at work or something. You feel okay and it doesn't even condemn you inside to be out there while the saints are here. Then there is something wrong with your spirit. Is that it there, sister? If you put the first one. The Bible is against them. Card playing, cigarette smoking, drinking, wearing immoral clothes. And then claiming to be a Christian. If that spirit in you does not condemn that, then there's something wrong with the spirit that's in you. That's a very strong statement. But we've got to face it. And when this statement condemns you in any part of your life, don't feel bad. Don't feel like, oh, they're speaking about against me or what. Feel condemned. This is God's grace to you. Because you are finding it out now while you can do something about it. What if now you find it out when you are in the place where the rich young ruler was? Then you see that the spirit that was in me when Jesus spoke to me was wrong. But now you can't do anything about it. What will you do then? Remember, he tried to do something. And he said, send me back. I want to talk to my brothers because they are of the same spirit like me. I want to talk to them because if I don't, they will end up in this place. Jesus said, no, I'm not sending you back. They have the preachers there, but the people would not believe the preachers because the preachers were saying things like this. If that spirit in you does not condemn that, the wrong things that we do, and you are going home in the car and you are seeing all those adverts about abortion, and it doesn't even move you, say, ah, give them their choice. It's their choice. Give them. It doesn't even move you an inch to see that it's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with the spirit in you. If you go home tonight and then somehow you see the advert of that new high-heeled shoe coming into fashion today, and you actually desire to have a thing like that, say, I want to have a shoe like this. But someone else who's a Christian sees that. I'm not talking of preferences. I'm talking of the word of God. Because the prophet speaks about that, the high-heeled shoe, that you have a hard time entering heaven. So imagine if the prophet says you will have a hard time with a high heel, but still you go contrary to that. How can the spirit in the prophet cry out against a high heel, but the spirit in you, which you claim to be of God, doesn't condemn you? There's something wrong. It can't be the same spirit. There's something wrong with the spirit that's in you. Because the God who wrote the word is the word. And the word is in you and it condemns you. It's got to. If it doesn't, you are being deceived. That's a very, very hard thing. But that's a very, very necessary thing. Because we are living in a day of deception. Very close that it would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. But the very elect cannot be deceived because of the word of God is in them. Every time they see something contrary to the word of God, it tells them from in there, that is wrong. There's something unfamiliar with that. You know? But if the spirit in you is very comfortable sitting in a movie house, there's something wrong with that spirit. If the spirit in you is very comfortable going to the barber shop as a sister and getting your hair cut, there's something wrong with that spirit. That's what the prophet is saying, because it's contrary to the word of God. If the spirit in you as a brother driving your car and you are very comfortable seeing all the nakedness out there in this summer, and you are very you actually drive out to look for opportunities that you could see something like that, there is something wrong with you, my brother. And it's time that you do something about it, because you don't want to wait when the day of the Lord comes. It comes as a thief in the night. You don't know when, but you know it's the season now. any time at this time the Lord could come. What a terrible thing it would be that you were sitting here on Sunday and you heard about counting the cost, but the Lord comes and you have not counted the cost. Or you have counted it and you have forsaken the word of God for the temporary things of this world. Where will that take you? Because when the spirit is in you is deceived, I don't think so that it will bring you to heaven. How can the Holy Spirit write something and you turn around and do contrary to it and say the Holy Spirit is leading you? You can't do it. You can't. It's impossible. And he gives examples. Smoking cigarettes, drinking whiskey, playing cards, cutting hair, wearing shorts, all these other things are wrong. Sinful wrong, he says. And you never get anywhere until you quit it. This is serious. This is serious sense. Because when you consider the rest of the word, of the things that he didn't mention here, forsaking the assembling of the saints together, lying, cheating the saints, not having the right kind of love for the saints, and you prefer this one and that one, and gossiping and all those things, they are sinful wrong. But if your heart doesn't even condemn you, no wonder when people are caught doing something wrong. And then the issue comes before the church. Maybe the deacons could investigate it or something. They say, I'm sorry, but there's no repentance. No real repentance. We remember when people used to repent. They would cry their eyes out until they know that I'm forgiven. But what do we do? I'm very sorry, Brother George. And we hug one another and we go. Something is wrong because you're not even feeling condemned. You just know intellectually that I have to say I'm sorry because I've been caught. But these brothers are really too extreme. What's wrong with what I did? What's wrong with it? But it's wrong. Do you know that the Bible even says, do not forsake the Levite in your midst? That's the pastor. Yeah? Because he has to labor and labor. Look at the man of God. He has to be at work tonight. Why? Because if he doesn't go to work, who's going to look after his children? That's a terrible thing. Why? Because we forsake the Levite. But that's the word of God. Do not forsake the Levite. How? Bring in your tithings and your offerings. Do we do that? No. That's a terrible thing. But for God, when he comes, like Brother Maxwell likes that message, vulcanized, you know, the stature of a perfect man. When he comes, the material that he's made of is going to be the same as the material of the church. And we've got a long way to go then. If we still even can't come to church on a Wednesday or even a Sunday, we've got a long way to go if we still feel comfortable with some of the things. Some of them are so obvious, like smoking and drinking and playing cards and things like that. But what about the lust of big things? The lust for money, for popularity. It's become so much among the saints that sometimes you really wonder. You find on WhatsApp, somebody can't rest until they get maybe 50 views of their status or something like that. Why? Because you are looking for popularity. You want to validate yourself. And today, if you get 50, 50 won't make you happy tomorrow. Tomorrow, you want 55. You know? Constantly, you wake up 5 o'clock and you want to pray. And your wife's phone, because I don't have Facebook. Ding, ding, ding. Can't you put your phone on silent? What's going on? It's Sister So-and-so updating Facebook. Hi. What is it with the people? When you really go to look what it is that thing, it's the lust for popularity. It doesn't outright seem like it's wrong. But when you take it and you take the word of God and compare, your action after that is proving what you are choosing. That is a terrible thing, saints. I want to look at one example there. Because this part is very important. You are being deceived. Don't let it be that one day when it's too late, you will discover that you were deceived all your life. When every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday the word is preached, many people go home and they go on the internet And then they put another message again, and then they put someone who was preaching again in another place. Constantly we are hearing the word of God. And the saints are good. They send a message on WhatsApp, a quote, and this one is sending a verse every morning. All those things are surrounding you as a witness against you. Yet you continue to live a deceived life. A spirit in you that is contrary to the word of God. It doesn't even condemn you at all to do things that a real Christian would never do. That's a terrible thing. But I would like to read an account in the Bible, just so we can really understand how it works there in the book of 2 Kings. I think you know the story of a man called Gehazi. I like the story of Gehazi because Gehazi was a student of the prophet, a vindicated prophet like we have. We have a vindicated prophet. We have listened on the tapes, the miracles that happened in the ministry of the Lord in Brother Branham. We have had testimonies of the people whose those miracles happened on. So we are very much like Gehazi because Gehazi was there. He saw the prophet. He heard him preaching. He seen the miracles firsthand. And when Gehazi would stand up and speak to the people, remember when Naaman came? The prophet never came to see Naaman. Gehazi's word was as good as the prophet's word. Because he came and he said, the prophet said, go and dip yourself 7 times. He never came to see him. And that word was good enough. You know? So when Gehazi stood and the prophet stood, when the people looked with their eyes, there was no difference. They were both message believers, believers of the message of the hour. And they used to stay together. They would fellowship together. Gehazi would sit there and say amen while Elisha was preaching. He was the campaign manager. He would go to Carlo and say, Pastor, come. The people are ready. I'm not saying Brother George is Gehazi. Yeah? And he would go to another place and campaign and campaign, and then the prophet would come, just like we do. These people walked hand in hand. Yeah? And when they would pray, they would make a pact together and fast for the work of God. Gehazi was that kind of a man when you look from the eyes. But who would know that the spirit that was leading Gehazi was not the same spirit that was leading Elisha? Yes, let's find out in 2 Kings chapter 5. And if this kind of touches on your toes, you have opportunity to do something about it. Don't leave it. Do something about it while you still can. Because the night is coming where no man can work. 2 Kings chapter 5. I would like to read from verse 20. Just after Naaman had got healed, Naaman came back to the prophet and he wanted to give him a gift. But the prophet refused. Maybe we should read from there. Verse 15. This is just when Naaman is coming back after he got healed. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Naaman, Gehazi was listening to this. But he said, the prophet, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So the spirit that was in Elisha would not let him take a gift from Naaman. And he actually urged him, but Elisha would not take it. That's the spirit that was in Elisha. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will therefore offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship thee, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, you see, this man was deceived. He was actually invoking the name of God in his thoughts. But his thoughts, he should have checked his thoughts with the prophet of the hour. And he should have seen that his thoughts are not in line with the prophet of the hour. And he should have abandoned his own thoughts. He should have forsaken his own thoughts. But when he put it in the value system, his own valuing system, he saw that, no, the thoughts of Elisha and this desire of this gift that I have, it's better I go after this gift. As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So how can Gehazi and Elisha be governed by the same spirit? It's not possible. The spirit in Gehazi was not the same as the spirit that was in the prophet. Yet these people fellowshipped together. They were brothers together. They came to the same church. And actually, he was trusted because he was very next. He was the servant of the prophet. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me. Did Elisha send Gehazi? How many people in the church lie in the name of another brother? How many? And if you are that kind of a person, the spirit in you, there's something wrong with it. How many people would come and say, the deacon said this when they didn't. The pastor said this when the pastor didn't. This is what Gehazi is doing. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. How many people make plots like this to use other brothers in things that they are not supposed to be doing? Brother, will this, can you go and do this? This is when it's a plot of the devil. This is what it was. Because Elisha never sent this, but look, he's involving two innocent brothers to go and lie on his behalf like that. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he edged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garment and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, never even said thank you. And they departed. Now what does he do? But he went in and stood before his master. Just walked in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where are you coming from? Look what Gehazi does. And he said, thy servant went nowhither. I didn't go anywhere. Saints in the church with the prophet of the hour, and you know this prophet has a gift of discernment, and you stand before him and say a lie like that. I didn't go anywhere. A student of the prophet, like you and me are, and we have people here that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Huh? The Holy Spirit has got discernment. And this prophet here was filled with the same spirit. Yet a man who knew that would stand in front of a prophet and say, I didn't go anywhere. We do the same thing as believers. Yeah? We come before another brother who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit discerns. And you look at him in the face and say, I didn't go anywhere. My lying. And you know that the Holy Spirit has got discernment. Yet you look at a brother and lie to him. What have you done? You have taken that spirit of discernment and you have taken your pride, put it in the balance, and you costed it. And you thought your pride was more worth than the Spirit of God. You see what you're doing? There's something wrong with the Spirit in you. And if you don't do your counting properly now, the time will come when you can't count anymore. And he said, I didn't go anyway. Now look, the discernment coming. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money? Is this time we are living in? Is it a time to be receiving money, extra shifts, because you want more money and you can't come to church and you are costing and you are choosing to go to work? Is this a time to be receiving money and to receive garments? See what he had done just before. He got money and garments from Naaman, yeah? But he didn't get olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants from Naaman. Where did he get these things? This thing that he was doing did not start on that day. He was used to doing this thing. And he was getting away with it every time. And said, I can fool those brothers anytime. But one day he did it just one time too many. And then he saw that I can't fool these brothers. Because this brother had been receiving money, garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, and oxen. Men servants. People were coming to the prophet and getting healed. And the prophet would say, I will take no gift from you. And then he would go behind the prophet and say, he said, give me something. Lying. And he knew this prophet had a gift of discernment. This is exactly the same scenario like we have in the day that we live in. Amen. It's a time of great deception, the Bible says in Matthew 24, that the deception will be so close. You see how this brother was a brother, a servant of the prophet. His word was as good as the prophet has spoken. Because he would go to the people and say, the prophet said, give me. The people would give without question. It's like me coming to your house and say, the pastor has sent me. He wants such, 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 and such. And people would be moved because of that. Deception, complete deception. Was the spirit in Gehazi the same as the spirit in the prophet? It was not. And Gehazi, in the end, the Bible says, the leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto thy seed forever. Imagine the consequences of the choices that Gehazi made. Not only for himself, but for his seed forever. The because of the prophet. I can tell you what the prophet, our own prophet, says about the word of the prophet. The prophet says that in the last days, God will come to make the word of the prophet to come to pass. Yeah? The word of my prophet Moses. He wants that word to come to pass because Elijah had God's word. He speaks about it when he's speaking about Ahab. Yeah? That Elijah came to Ahab and said, the dogs will lick your blood where you killed Naboth. Yeah? And God so much wanted the word of his prophet to come to pass. Yeah? That he made things work in a way that Ahab had to be deceived to go to war with the Syrians. Yeah? And be killed there so that the word of God's prophet would come to pass. There was the word of God's. That's how God is particular about his prophets. So when you see God's prophet stand in the pulpit and say, sister, you will have a hard time entering heaven because of that high-heeled shoe. Yet the spirit in you does not feel anything or want to do anything about. You actually go in a house and you see a shelf, glass, expensive shelf, where a sister will have her high-heeled shoes stacked on it as a display, mocking the word of God. This is a dangerous place to be. And when the children begin to rebel years later, and you wonder why it is like that, it's because the children are sitting here. There is Mike, Michael there. Yeah? And he hears the word of God being preached. Do you not think that these children hear? I was 6 years old when I heard the serpent seed. Yeah? And I believed it. I couldn't explain it, but I believed it. But now if Michael goes home tonight and he remembers what was being preached and then he sees his own father doing contrary to that, what message are the parents giving to the children? They are showing the children that the cost of what was said and this one, this is better. This is of more value to us in this family here. And God gave children to parents because he wants children to believe their parents. That's why parents should teach their children the right thing. Because God has put something inside children so that they can believe their parents. There's nobody can teach a child better than that child's parent. So when a parent goes home and sends the wrong message to the children, you are planting a seed. 5 years later, 10 years later, when that seed begins to grow, then you wonder, why is my child like this? The next thing you're on the phone to Brother Eli, brother, what are you people teaching my children in church? We're teaching them the word of God. But you are also teaching them at home. That's why maybe they are the way they are, because you are teaching them the wrong things by your doing. It's not enough to sit with children and just read scriptures and teach them from the Bible. They observe the things that you do. And that's a bigger teacher than what you can ever teach. Doesn't the prophet say, leave me a sermon instead of preaching me a sermon? Because there's more power in the leaving of a sermon than in the preaching of a sermon. So when you do exactly contrary to what the Bible says to the children, where does it leave you? You are planting a seed of rebellion, and it will bear fruit one day. When you plant, you will reap. And when you hear the word of God speak about the high-heeled shoe, and you go contrary to it, you will reap it down the line. You have to, because the prophet speaks and says, you've got to forsake your own thoughts. You have to forsake the things of the world. If you don't, there's no other way you can do it. That's just the word of God. So that's what happened to Gehazi, that he ended up with leprosy. And we know that leprosy is spiritual death. How then could Gehazi fix this? How could he go and say to the prophet, please pray for me and take this leprosy away from me? He couldn't. And this type of spiritual death, when we do things that we know the Bible are not right, and we don't count our costs right, one day don't be surprised when spiritual death occurs on you. And the thing about spiritual death is that spiritual death does not come to a person who's in the grave physically. Spiritual death strikes people that still have physical life in them. And they still come to church. They still go home and sit at the same table and do this and that, maybe even put a message on your way to work on the bus. But you are long dead, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. But it doesn't have to happen to you. It doesn't have to happen to me. Why? Because God has been merciful to us in this day. God has been merciful to brother, here sitting, Brother Joel, because we have heard on Sunday to count the cost. It's got to cost you something to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what it costs is what the prophet has told us. You've got to forsake the lust for big things. It's not wrong to have ambition for big things. But when that is your primary motive, if that's the thing that drives you, my ambition is for the kingdom of God. That's what I would rather have. The prophet says he would rather live in a small place and have nothing, can't even look after his family, but still have the kingdom of heaven. That's the thing. But when all your decisions that you make are affected by your primary ambition of making money, then there's something wrong with your value system. Maybe you are even deceived. And you've got to fix that while you still can. The Bible in Matthew 24 says, the day of the Lord comes like a thief. This is a reality that you and me are facing today. The things that are happening in the world that are not even reported in the news, when you go and search for them and see them, you'll be shocked how far this world has gone. Now they stopped even reporting about earthquakes. But you go and see on their website for earthquakes and see how many of them occur every day. And they are preaching peace, yeah? Peace, peace, there's going to be peace. But sudden destruction, the Bible says. The day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. You don't know what time the thief is going to come. But the thief, you know that it's night time. He's not going to come like this. Night time, everybody's sleeping, lights off, it's dark. It's the season of the coming of the thief. So you stand guard, because if you know what hour the thief would come, you won't suffer your house to be broken into. I remember when somebody tried to steal my car, and they took my key and went away, and I knew they were going to come back for that car. I remember that night going to Brother Ellie's house. We pushed his old car. It wasn't working. We had to push it because I didn't want anybody to steal my car. That's how diligent I was for a car that perishes. What about for your soul? That is more precious than gold, more precious than the whole earth. And if you have seen that you are deceived or something wrong with your spirit, won't you be diligent tonight? Won't you be diligent and make sure that by the time you leave those doors, you have fixed something? Because one of these days is going to be too late. The night is coming. Nobody can work. And you will wish that 5 years ago, I wish I had fixed this thing. But tonight, you and me, we have opportunity. Amen. We have grace. Because the word of God is grace to us. Amen. When it comes and it presents hard things. Very hard, right close to you. Even when I'm speaking and something happens and I see it and it also touches me. I want to make that right. Because I have now opportunity to do it. One day you don't have to open your eyes in hell and then see that you made the wrong choices. But if you were to count your costs tonight, if you were to put your costs right and say, this is what I must pay in order to follow Christ, I'm telling you, it's the best investment that you can ever have. Amen. I remember in the Bible when Abraham was asked to forsake his own land. The prophet said he probably had an acre of land where his house was. But he was asked to forsake it. And what did he do? He forsook it. Even though at first he took his father, his cousin, but he forsook his own land. He forsook the people that were familiar to him. He forsook all that was dear to him to follow the word of God to a place he didn't know. Amen. You can't do it without faith. You've got to have faith to know that there's a promise that God has made. He's not going to leave me here. He's taking me to a place. The prophet says there's no city like Arizona somewhere, Phoenix, Arizona. Very beautiful. He's been to many cities in the world, but Phoenix, Arizona was very beautiful. But he says, brother, it will look like an alley when we get to heaven. Because that place, no eye has seen. You can't even describe it. And that's the place where we are going to. But because we can't see it with our eyes, it affects our costing system. But when we use faith and look by faith, brother, there's nothing this world can ever offer you that will ever attract you when God reveals to you the glory of his kingdom. That's the opportunity that you and me have tonight, is that opportunity to get to a place like that. But before we get there, something must be fixed if something is not right. Because God is looking for a church where there's not a single cigarette smoker, the Bible says, the message says. A church where there's not a single gossiper. A church where there's not a single short skirt. No bobbed hair. A church where there's no cigarette smoker. He says he is longing for a church like that. And when that church materializes, and then the Lord comes on the scene, it will be the same material and it will vulcanize like that. The prophet said the reason we don't have revival in our churches is because many people, there's something wrong with their spirit. They are deceived. They think they are okay, but they are not okay with God. But these things here reveal to us, when we make our choices, when we make our decisions, what kind of decisions are we making? Are we choosing the word of God? Or are we choosing the things of this world? There it reveals it. It's very close. It's very personal. Because only you know what happens in your heart. But when you make those choices, you are the one who knows what kind of spirit is in you. When you see wrong, the Bible says, go and mark those that cry and sigh against the sins that are committed in the city. But you walk through the city, you see all the debauchery, looking for opportunity to even pass through Temple Bar, I think they call it, just so you could see some mischief. Your spirit in you is not right. And you're watching maybe something nice and you can't wait for an advert to come that's got something wrong. Your spirit in you is not right. And tonight is an opportunity where you can do something about it. When Abraham forsook his own land, his friends and everything, and went to a place that he had never seen, what did God give him? He gave him a whole nation. A whole nation. When he had to forsake his 1 acre, God gave him a whole nation. The prophet says when the children of Israel forsook the flesh pots of Egypt and said, we are leaving this, what did God give them? Angels' food. So you might receive persecution today for forsaking the things of the world. But the prophet says God is not a debtor to anybody. Jesus speaks to the disciples when they say, we have forsaken all. We have forsaken our houses, our families, our wives and children. Jesus speaks to them. No man has forsaken that will not receive 100-fold. You will receive in this world and then in the world to come. So you've got more to gain today by forsaking the things of the world than you have to gain by not forsaking them. So if you forsake everything that is contrary to the word of God and we begin to walk in this path, forsaking, abandoning completely without intention to coming back to pick it up, then we begin to walk, brother, we'll get somewhere. We will get somewhere if just even one person will be in a place like that. Because God is looking for one man fully surrendered in the hands of God to do something. So if he's not doing something, it means he's not getting that man. But I am more than determined to be that kind of a man. I want to be in the hands of the Lord, just as the musicians come, so that God can do something. Because that's what we want to see God manifesting in our midst. What good is it if we were to just live and live and live, never see the manifestation of God in our midst? We want the reality of God. We want to be able to come and say, brother, I give you rain. Brother, I give you a job. But how can that happen when our character is not developed to a place where constantly, every time we have a choice, we choose the things of God? I thought so much today about that Sister Hetty. Imagine when the power of heaven is open to you. Say, choose what you want. And your sister is that sick. And you have that trouble in your house where you can't provide for your family. And then you choose the things of God. That's character. That is real character. And that's what we want. That's what we are going to get if we bring ourselves back to the cross again. Let us sing a song.
Surrender. I surrender.
message, forsaking all. He said, I would forsake anything in the world. I don't care what it is.
Amen.
To see Jesus Christ manifest himself, especially when it's manifested in my life, that I know that I have passed from death unto life. And I know that he is the Messiah. I know by taking him at his word that he has saved me from a life of sin. And I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I see his signs everywhere pointing that I know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forsaking all, I'm willing to forsake anything. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to forsake anything tonight. I'm willing to forsake my job. I'm willing to forsake anything. My own job has kept me from coming to church sometimes on Wednesdays and Fridays. But when I heard the message on Sunday, today I told my manager, no more. Amen. I'm willing to forsake it, no matter what it may cost me.
Amen.
But I just want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be with the saints when they gather. And I'm willing to forsake it. I've drawn a line, and I'm not looking back. If I don't get a job that brings me to church whenever the church doors open, then I won't take it. That's how much I would desire to see the Lord Jesus manifested in my life.
Amen.
And if you are of the same spirit like that, let's just speak to him a little bit. Say, Lord, help us, for the hour that we live in, it's a dangerous hour. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, what a God thou art, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. Just Brother Maxwell come to close for us.
Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, we thank you this evening. It has been grace once again, Lord, to us. Father, we thank you. Even your word you gave to us last Sunday, it has been confirmed again, Lord, this evening. And Father, how you have admonished us through your word that if we shall make the right decision, oh, Lord Jesus, there are blessings that we shall receive, O God. And even it makes us to remember after your prophet Joshua has spoken to the people, he said, me and my house, we shall save the Lord. Father, we want to take that same decision. And we thank you, even Lord, you have given us promises. If we are able to make the right decision, there are great things the Lord you have promised to us. You said you will make us to eat of the tree of life. You shall make us to eat of the hidden manna. You shall make us to sit with you even in heavenly places, even to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh Lord, tonight we thank you for admonishing us. Father, we've taken, Lord Jesus, now your word of God to live by it, Lord. Father, no matter how much it will cost us, as long as we weigh in the balance and we see you, Christ, Lord, we shall choose Christ, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word tonight again, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for our precious brother, your servant, you have used this evening, O God, to once again confirm what you have spoken to us last Sunday, Lord. Father, bless him, Lord Jesus. And Father, replenish him. And always, Lord Jesus, use him, O God, for the sake of your bride, Lord. Father, tonight, many weren't able to come. And we believe the Lord Jesus, it was for good reasons, Lord. But Father, for your mercy and for your grace, Lord, reach them wherever they are.
Amen.
And what we have been blessed tonight, Lord, let it be their portion also, Lord. And Father, as we have already prayed for our pastor, Lord Jesus, we continue to bring him before you. The Lord, oh yes, Lord Jesus, bless him and his family, Lord. Uphold him, Lord Jesus, and even committing the ministry in this house, Lord, into your hands. Father, we want to go by your way, oh Lord, your provided way. So Lord, we thank you for admonishing us tonight. By your word again, we shall make the right decision by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Even Father, as you brought us here safely, O God. As we are going back, Lord, we ask the same grace, Lord, that you granted Jenny mercies, Lord Jesus. And Father, we commit the rest of the week into your hands. Friday, Saturday at Carlo, and Sunday, Lord, all, Father, we want, O Lord Jesus, to make the right choice, O God. The Lord, always it will be your name, O God, that will be our banner. Your name alone, O God, that we uphold, O Lord Jesus, in all our lives, Lord Jesus. Father, we don't want to be like Opa, who came to look upon the cost and never took it, Lord Jesus. We want to be like Ruth, O God. Oh, who weighed the balance, Lord Jesus, and the after results, O Lord Jesus, was a blessing unto her. Take us through that way also, Lord. Let it be our way, O Lord Jesus. We thank you for tonight. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Could sing that chorus again. I surrender all, just as we dismiss.
Surrender.